Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler. This is part of the Robert Schuler Ministries, a church with no walls. And this is our 8 a.m. Pacific. No, we're still in Pacific Daylight Time service. And we have a 10 a.m. service. Live here in Orange County, Newport Beach. If you're around, you can come down to the community center in the Newport Beach Civic Center. And we have a great group of people that meet down there at 10. But right now it's 8 a.m. Pacific time. So here we are coming to you with a message of hope and a message of hopefully, you know, education and biblical truths and how to live your life.
Yeah, we want to help you transform your thoughts into divine thoughts, into thoughts that are going to make you a better, stronger, happier, healthier person. And we find that the guidance is within the Bible for us to be able to accomplish that. And we're going to be talking about, what did you do?
The dog was right there and I moved my foot. And
you
like,
kicked him.
No, I didn't kick him. I barely touched him. He was sleeping. Sorry.
Well, anyway, we're going to be talking about Romans 12. And all of the beauty that and instruction that we have there within those verses.
Sounds great. So the announcements, just a couple. First of all, I want to thank those of you that have started watching on our website, drschuler.org, and that's drschuller.org. I have to spell that out because of closed captioning.
Exactly.
That we have for those that can't hear us, and we're glad to provide that service through the social platforms. But if you are listening on our website, thank you so much, because we've been asking you to do this for a long time, because we get censored and shadow banned and all kinds of other things on the one major platform in particular. Its initials are FB. So anyway, so thank you very much for that. And once you're there, since you're on the website after the service, go on there and look around and have a look at, you know, our blogs. Blogs, basically, if you're not familiar with blogs, they're articles. We've written hundreds of articles on various subjects, almost any subject you can think of. Either Robert or myself have written these blogs, and they're 200 or 300 words each, but they're there to help, you know, lift you up when you're feeling down or maybe when you need some special advice. So go into blogs. You just click in the tab at the top of the website. And also there's a way to look at our podcasts. There's a podcast that you can click on. And we've been doing a podcast now for 11 years. It's called The Call. And we do it on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific. And we put it on our podcast. It's also live, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on the 15th of the month. So, you know, we're very busy always. This is what we do. This is our ministry. We love what we do, but we'd like for you to partake and just discover more of what we do. So go on our website, drschuler.org.
And while you're there, consider making a donation or making this part of your tithing and spiritual support, because the Bible is very clear. It tells us to give, and with what measure we give, it shall be given back to us. And that's actually from Jesus. And so if you wish to support this ministry, there is a I'd like to give button. You push that and you can follow the prompts and you can give. And you can also give through Venmo. And I'll tell you what, I'll pull that up a little bit later. But right now, let's
read the scripture.
Read the scriptures.
Okay, from Romans 12. Okay. So the scripture reading, as Robert said, in the words of St. Paul from Romans 12, hear these powerful words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for these reminders. Thank you for reminding us that we're one body and we all have different parts and we're so important, the role we play. May we be able to discern and figure out what our gifts are, what our spiritual gifts are, what our calling is, and may we be able to exercise these gifts and use them to glorify you, God, to make this place, this planet, just a little more loving and kind and good. And if there's someone listening today that feels like they're not in the right position, that they're not using their gifts, Lord, may they be called to be courageous enough to step out of that box they've been put in and to follow you, to know because they know that you've called them to teach or you've called them to be a minister of mercy and goodness, maybe to encourage people. If you've called people to prophesy, to give good words to those regarding their future, Lord, words that are inspired by you, may these people do this. May they do it with all their might, with all their body, their soul, and their mind, Lord. Thank you for giving us these spiritual gifts. Thank you for calling us for a purpose and for a reason in this life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 And amen and amen.
Coming back?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you probably want me to come back. Or unless you want to give the message, that's fine too. Another time, right?
Another time.
I know you did it a couple weeks ago, and that was awesome. And if you want to hear her message from a couple weeks ago, you can go to our website and you'll see. Or we've got to just scroll back a couple weeks if you're on Facebook. And do they still call it Facebook, or are they using Meta now?
I have no idea what it's called.
Like Twitter is now X.
I try not to promote them.
And,
so
yeah.
I'd rather them go on Twitter or go on something else where it's stored.
Or YouTube.
Or our website.
Our website. I don't know if they can get all of our...
Well, it goes to YouTube.
It goes to YouTube, exactly. So you can go to our YouTube.
Yeah,
you
this live doesn't get stored actually right on our website. Actually,
no,
it might
that's
now,
what I'm talking about.
But it goes through YouTube. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's very
so
complicated.
So subscribe to us on YouTube, and you can go and you can see everything we have. I'll bet we have close to 1,000 videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. On the Robert Schuller Ministries channel.
Yeah, you just have to subscribe and you'll see everything there. It's pretty amazing what we've done over our lifetime. And I guess that's what happens if you live long enough. You get big numbers like that.
In your lifetime, all those videos that you've done aren't on there from the Hour of Power.
Part
of a big church. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject. But we do have a lot. So it's not your lifetime of work. It's probably a lot of my lifetime, because I've only been doing this since I knew you. Only 40 years.
Well, the big news in Southern California is the hurricane is coming. No. right?
No, the hurricanes don't come to Southern California.
It is really, for us, it's kind of comical because we paid attention to weather on the West Coast for years. And we have hurricanes, several hurricanes every year coming up from the South.
But they don't come up here.
But they never report anything about any of the hurricanes. And the reason for that is because the hurricanes cannot reach Southern California, period. And why is that? Let me show you one little picture here real quick. And this will explain why the hurricanes cannot come up here. So if you notice,
explain what this is, because
that's what I'm going to do. Okay. You see, the white is land, and all of it is Mexico. There's a long peninsula. You can see the peninsula there, that white peninsula. That's Baja California. That's approximately 800 plus miles long. And if you're going to drive from San Diego down there, it's a little over 1,000 miles because you wind back and forth and goes back and forth across.
And we've done it many times.
We love this peninsula. We fly back and forth. We drive back and forth. But what you have here, the water, you have all, this is the temperature of the water around this peninsula. And if you notice, the red is warm water. I can't read that right now.
The bright green.
But you can see the graph at the bottom, and it's about 85 degrees, the red. The yellow is about 80 degrees. The green starts getting cold. It's like 75 degrees. By the time you get down to the purple, which you see near the top, you can see that purple, that's 62 degree water. That's 62. The blue is like 68. Where that line is about 72, just to give you an idea. And you can read, the chart is down there. If you can read that, that's in centigrades. And if you really want to get accurate about it, you can do the conversion. You can just ask Siri or whatever or Google how many. I know that 68 degrees is 20 degrees Celsius, so that'll give you a pretty good clue as to what those temperatures are. And hurricanes completely are decimated in cold water. They have to have 80 degree water to survive. And that's why Hurricane Hillary is falling apart, and why the hoax of a hurricane coming to California is literally a hoax. It is not. It never has. It never will. We have never in the history of California had, in any recorded history, we've never had a hurricane. And unless the water warms up to 80 degrees all the way up the coast,
so the channel will have will. To, so the current will have to change direction, literally.
The currents will have to change.
Instead of coming from Alaska down or north down, they're going to have to switch like they do on the East Coast.
And from that diagram, you can probably realize that the currents from the south reach halfway of Baja, and then they reach the currents that are coming south from Alaska, and they hit there and then go across to Hawaii. That's why you have most of the hurricanes that are developed in Central America, most of them go out to Hawaii. And that's why Hawaii and the surrounding islands get hit with hurricanes. It's really common, but not California. They will never come up here. What we do get coming up here is the tail end of the storms. And so we get a little
forever.
And it's we've always had rain in the wintertime in the summertime. And whenever we have rain in the summertime in Southern California, it's because of one of these pressures and one of these hurricanes that moved halfway up Baja California. And so you hear all of this stuff going on.
Oh, people are scared to death. I mean, I was reading, people are thinking there's going to be 100 mile an hour winds. Now, I know the wind's supposed to pick up a little this afternoon, but Robert, how much wind do we have right now?
Look zero.
Literally
less than 5 miles an hour. We have a palm tree, and it doesn't take anything to make those palm fronds move a little bit.
It's not moving.
And it's not moving. I see one little twig from one of the palm fronds moving a little bit, and that could even be from the rain that's hitting it. We have a little rain. And here along the beach,
there's fear mongering going on.
Here along the beach, we're going to get a couple inches. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the majority of it's going to be going into our local mountains, and our local mountains can get up to 7 inches, which is a lot of rain.
That's a lot of rain.
That's a lot of rain. And it will cause some flooding in the mountains, but not in the basin. That rain, net water will be in the flood channels and come down. But if we lose all of our electricity, it's not because of the rain.
Because they turned it off.
Because they turned it off. And that's a whole nother topic for another day. And maybe I'll get into it during my message.
Should I leave? Are you getting to your message?
So
the offering.
Yeah, I think it's important that you announce the offering.
Absolutely.
Because we have several ways to give. I've got a new QR code that I put up here to help those of you who wish to give and use Venmo. Here's our QR code for Venmo if you wish to give that way at the Robert Schuller Ministries.
If you're not on your cell phone, just point your cell phone camera at that. If you're on your cell phone, you can't do that.
You may be able to take a screenshot. I don't know how that works. Yeah. But anyway, that's our Venmo code. So if you seeing that pictures and seeing that will give you some more comfort if you wish to give that way.
Exactly.
But I think most people wish to give through by going to our main website. And then again, but that QR code isn't going to work with that logo on there. So I got to hide that a minute. I'll hide that. And nope, that didn't do it.
It's okay. Let's just talk about it for a minute here. If you feel called to give to this ministry, please do. If not, please give to another church. Give to another Christian church that preaches the Bible, that tells the truth, that empowers its members. And, you know, members are anybody that takes part in Sunday morning or any time during the week of worship with a church. And you don't have to have official membership to be part of us. If you watch every Sunday, you are a member of what we're doing, and we appreciate you. But if you don't want to support this, if you don't feel called to support this, please find a church. It's so important. You know, just I want to digress for a second. I know in Maui, they have horrible, horrible firestorms. All of us know about it. And one of the interviews I saw with a young man, he said the first people to help there were the churches. If it
Absolutely.
Wasn't for the churches, they would have had
nothing
for days. So churches and what churches do are really important, even if you're not a believer yet. So please support churches. Please support the work that churches do, and make sure they tell the truth about the Bible and about God and about Jesus. And they believe in the Holy Trinity. They believe in helping people. They believe in love and reaching out. And anyway, so we appreciate those of you that already support us. And if you'd like to mail a check, you can mail it to Robert Schuller Ministries. And our address is, you're going to have to get a slide for that.
Yeah.
26
Canyon Island
Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Now, that was a lot. So if you missed that, you have to go to our website, drschuller.org. Again, it's drschuller.org. That's one word, not the way it's being spelled out on closed captioning if you're watching that way. But drschuller.org, and there's a button that says, I would like to give. I'd like to give. You just click on it. It'll take you through these little prompts. It's easy. It'll probably take you a minute to give that way. If you feel called in your heart to give a recurring gift, even if it's any amount, we'd love that because it allows us to plan for the future. And it's called budgeting, right? And whatever you feel in your heart to give. And last but not least, Robert already went over Venmo, and it's Robert Schuller Ministries is our handle. There's a picture of he and I together on that too. And God will bless you for whatever you're able to give, whatever you feel called in your heart to give. And we thank you.
And if you want to give a special gift for Maui, you can use us. You can send it to us and we'll make sure 100% of it goes to local people. I know they've been complaining about the FEMA and the Red Cross and other large agencies not getting it to the people who need it. And the reason I have the ability to do that is because my sister lives in Maui, has and her whole family. Her son is a firefighter.
And her
son-in-law. Is a firefighter. So they're in the midst of it. She knows exactly how to get this money to the right organizations and the right people. She doesn't know that I'm making this announcement. I tried to reach her yesterday. I couldn't reach her to let her know I may say something like this. But she will make sure that this gets into the hands of the right people.
And families, food for their children,
exactly.
Things like that.
And it may be going to a church that she knows is really active in doing it. It may go to another local charity that's doing something, but you can be sure that it's going to get in the hands of the people that need it. If you wish to do that, we can make sure that happens, and it can happen quickly. But we just need to know it specifically for Maui. Otherwise, we won't be able to assist in that way. So anyway, I'll let you go because I'm going to start talking some more about weather. Because we're talking about Maui. And there's been people who have claimed that Maui is the Maui fires is a result of global warming. We have
climate change.
They don't even call it global warming
anymore,
do they? They call it climate change. Okay.
So you can take
and then they're doing the same thing. And I believe that's why they're talking about hurricanes coming up to California, even though it's never going to happen. They're talking about it. Why? Because of climate change. And the climate change all has to do with their desire and specifically focusing on CO2 emissions, carbon dioxide. And why are they doing this? I believe that there is a movement in the world today that has been portrayed specifically by several organizations, the Club of Rome, which I could talk about. You have the World Economic Forum, you have the UN, you have the World Health Organization, all of which want to control and manipulate your freedoms and your movement. And as a result of that, the best way they know how to create, to enslave individuals and people is with fear. And so they create this fear. Oops, that's not supposed to be there. Sorry about that. I accidentally hit that. And so they create these fears in order to manipulate people. Now, how do I know that they're moving in this regard? Let me show you a screenshot from my Southwest Airlines. Why am I showing you my screenshot from Southwest Airlines? On here, if you read this, it says book a flight, low fares, flight statistics, and you keep on reading down. And just two above car, you see car down there in blue letters, two above that, it says buy carbon credits. Buy carbon offsets. That's not credits, offsets. Buy carbon offsets. Why would they have that? They're preparing us to realize that you're not going to have the freedom to travel that you think you will have. There is a goal to enslave mankind and humanity. They tried very much with with COVID, and they have failed. Now they're using climate to control us through carbon offsets. And this is going to be a very, very painful, costly mountain if the US and Europe and the West decide to move in this direction. Why do I say that? I'm not going to be talking a whole lot about this, but first of all, we need to know a few things about carbon and about the ecology. 97% of global transportation is powered with fossil fuels. Fossil fuels have been the the greatest source of power and freedom that the world has ever seen. Because of fossil fuels, we have the ability to move goods and services and people like we've never had in the history of mankind, through aircraft, through buses, through trucks, through trains. And today, after 20 years of trying to find alternative sources, we are still 97% of the world's transportation is made possible solely through fossil fuels. Now, the other thing we have to look at is electricity. 84% of all electricity comes from fossil fuels, either from coal power plants, gas power plants, or some other form of fossil fuels. 84% of the world's electricity comes from basically fossil fuels. Now, for the last 20 years, we have been working to break away from this mode and go into alternative means of energy. And we have spent trillions of dollars doing so. We have now picked the low-hanging fruit, and what kind of progress have we made in the last 20 years? We have reduced that by 2%. 2% is all, after spending trillions of dollars in order to reduce our carbon footprint. Now, why do I share all this with you? I'm sharing all this with you because this is a huge problem. The problem isn't that we don't have, the huge problem is that we have individuals with an agenda, and that agenda is not for human flourishing. It is for zero carbon footprint. And that zero carbon footprint simply means that you cannot exist. Literally, that's what that means. You cannot exist. So what we have to do, from my opinion, is use the energy that we have right now to the best of our ability to clean it up and to make it healthy. And I have seen tremendous progress in my lifetime in that regard. As a child, when I was in elementary school, I remember choking on the air in Southern California. When I was a child, the population of Southern California was a fraction of what it is today. I would drive from one city to another, and in between would be miles of farmland of orange trees, walnut trees, strawberry fields, vegetable gardens, et cetera, until I got to the city of Santa Ana. Today, when I drive through Orange County, it's one massive city. Once you left Southern Orange County, not even Southern Orange County, Central Orange County, you didn't see anything until you got to San Diego. There was a small little community in San Juan Capistrano. The population was about 10,000 people at the time. And that was it. I mean, I look at where the population is today in Southern California, and it's wall-to-wall cities. You cannot find an orange grove. You cannot. The only thing you find are parks, and things like that have been preserved, and that's the only open space we have in Orange County. It is wall-to-wall people. Why am I bringing that up? Because when the population was a fraction of the size it was now, the air quality was horrible to the point where I would choke, my eyes would hurt, I'd get a sore throat, and that was with only a few cars on the road. Today we have 100 times more cars on the road, stuck in traffic, spewing out fumes, and I never have that feeling anymore. I never have the pain in my throat. I never can not breathe. We don't have the smog we had 50 years ago, and we have 100 times more cars. That's the progress that we have made through technology in making the use and using the fossil fuels that God has given us to be cleaner and healthier. I want a clean society. I want clean energy. I want a clean universe. I want a clean planet. But at the same time, I know that the answer isn't going to simply be windmills and solar farms. We need to find other energy sources as well. That is something to pray about and think about. But what we cannot allow happen is for oligarchs and tyrannical governments to insist on us having a zero policy, because that is only a prescription for us to be enslaved in their roles that they play, because at the same time they hop on their private jets and they fly and do whatever they want. There's an inconsistency there that I cannot control and endorse. Why do I bring this all up? And why is this part of my message today with Romans 12? I want you to hear these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will for humanity is to flourish. He wants humanity to flourish. He wants us to continue to live and to enjoy life and to live in freedom. He doesn't want us to hold on to the worldly desires and things and to be enslaved. It's the old story of how do you catch a monkey. You know, you can see the videos on YouTube of how to catch a monkey. You take a coconut, you drill a hole just the right size so the monkey can get his hand in there. Then you attach that coconut to a tree. And then you put a banana or something that the monkey wants. And when the monkey sticks his hand inside that coconut and grabs the banana, he will not let go of that banana. His greed, his desires will not allow him to let go. And somebody can then come along with a cloth or a net, whatever they need, and capture that monkey and put them in the cage. It's that simple. If we hold on to the things of this world, if we are not anti-conformists, we are going to be enslaved by tyrants, by individuals who wish to see us limited in our freedom and to be controlled by others. That is not the Christian lifestyle. That is not what Christ and God has designed for us. Throughout the Bible, we know that we see that God wants you to be free. He wants you to be, and the way we find our freedom is to let go of our bodily things that we think that are so important to us and rely upon the Spirit of God to fill us with his goodness, and he will guide us and lead us. We need to focus our thoughts on what are pure and good and holy. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, Paul in his letter to the church in Rome, which is what we're talking about, we're here in Romans 12, he has told us all about God's tremendous love and grace and mercy for us. And in view of this mercy, which he has talked about specifically in the first eight chapters of this book, he has been talking about this. He says, in view of these things, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And living is an important part to understand there. The word sacrifices just resounds of the whole Jewish understanding of how we atone ourselves and have a relationship with God. In fact, in chapters 9, 10, and 11, Paul has been addressing everything to the Jewish population. So it's not out of character that he would have this as a transitionary statement, a living sacrifice. In the Jewish culture, they would bring a dead sacrifice before God. It would be a bird, it would be a lamb, it would be an ox, it would be something that was living that they have sacrificed, killed, and put on this on the altar, and that sacrifice then was completely consumed with fire. That's the way individuals, persons, communities, and the nation of Israel reunited themselves with God. That's the way they found forgiveness for their sins. That's the way they were purified. That all ended when the temple was destroyed in 72 AD. Today, Paul is telling us that we make ourselves a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Here's the thing about a living sacrifice. As living individuals, we get on the altar and we say, okay, Lord, I give you my body to do as you would want to do. And then all of a sudden, since we're alive, we see something out of the corner of our eye and it distracts us. We go, oh, I'll bet he wants me to do this or that. Oh, maybe it's okay. I'll just go over there a minute. And we find ourselves being distracted through the sinful nature that we have because we are a living sacrifice. And so we have to constantly come back to the altar, constantly coming back to God, constantly saying, forgive me, Lord. And we continue to give our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. And that's what God wants from us. He wants our minds to be transformed so that we can, day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, continually his will for our lives. And as we follow God's will for our life, we will find success. It's like the old joke of the guy who just had to have his ice cream. And so he would stop at the ice cream store every day on his way home from work and buy an ice cream. And he started gaining weight. He goes, you know, I've got to quit doing this. So he found another way home from work. And one day he forgot to take that alternative road. And he goes, well, maybe this is God's will for my life. I forgot on purpose. I'll just confirm, if there's a parking space out front, then I'll know that God wants me to stop and get some ice cream today. So he drives by. And sure enough, there's a parking space, and he picks his ice cream up, and he comes home, and his wife goes, what are you doing with your ice cream? You said you weren't going to do this anymore. And he says, well, I promised God, I came to the realization that if God wanted me to have ice cream, there'd be a parking space out front. And sure enough, the eighth time around the block, there it was, an empty parking space. So I knew it was God's will for my life. You know, it's obviously it's humor, it's a joke, but it paints the picture of the reality of us as individuals who we are weak individuals. Our bodies are as the apostles said to Jesus, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's what they said as Jesus was, the night he was betrayed, he sat on the rock and he prayed. And as he said, will you please stay up and watch with me and pray with me? And they all fell asleep. And Jesus said to them, couldn't one of you stay up with me tonight? And their response was sincere and repentful and sorrowful. And they just stated this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the way a living sacrifice is. As living sacrifices, we do our best. We try as much as we can. We find alternative ways, but then we end as our slavery. And that slavery is not what we want. It's not what you want. It's not what God wants. And so we come to the altar and we offer our bodies again as a living sacrifice. And we do it over and over and over again. I think that's one of the reasons it's important for us to have a commitment to go to church every Sunday. I was raised that way. I raised my children that way. And one of the reasons it's every Sunday is because it is so easy for us, if we don't go every Sunday, to never come back and bring our living sacrifices to the altars again. So every Sunday, it's a time for us to reflect upon our lives and say, where have I turned? How many times have I gone around the block looking for something that I know I shouldn't be touching and participating in? How many times have I failed God? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not listen to scientism and people who are out to create fear. If you're listening to anything that creates fear, you're listening to the wrong thing. There's always going to be fear mongers because fear is the way to control. We have known that through psychologically forever. And even though we know it, we are still completely susceptible to it. That is the main tool of the devil and his demons to implant in your mind fear. And that fear then takes away all your logic, all of your ability to really make the proper decisions and move in the way that God wants you to go. Here's what we know: that fear-based decisions are never as good as logically based decisions. Never. So, oligarchs, tyrants, people who wish to control you for whatever reason will continue to instill fear within you. Ah, the existential threat of humanity is CO2 carbons. And yet we know that the world, that vegetation requires CO2, that the more CO2 we have in the world, the faster our vegetation grows. Vegetation will help create oxygen. Oxygen then gives us breath that we can breathe and gives us energy. And you take that oxygen away, you take that vegetation away, you take that CO2 away. Maybe things cool down, but cold temperatures are far more dangerous for humanity than warm temperatures are. And I could go on talking about how the world will continue to enslave you. That is the goal of evil. Evil wants to enslave you. My current read that I'm reading is a book called Political Ponerology. P-O-N-E-R, Ponerology. Ponerology is the study of evil. And I've been studying this and I've been examining the consequences of people living in fear and how they will do anything to get out of that fear. But the fact of the matter is, fear is within our minds, and it is by transforming our minds that we break through the chains of fear. And it is what God wants for you to have, a life free from fear. And that only comes when we realize that it is the Holy Spirit, living Jesus, that comes and gives us the freedom to understand how to transform our world. But it starts by, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get rid of fear. Do not allow fear to have part in you at all. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Have you ever wondered, how do I know what God's will for my life is? That's how. You put God first, you transform your mind, and then you will. And it is his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. He goes on throughout the chapter talking about how, as Christians and as people who trust in the mercy of God, how we can live not by holding on to everything like the monkey does, holding on to his treasure inside the coconut and being enslaved. If we're holding on to our things that way, we're going to continually devolve into slavery. We need to let go and realize it is by giving that we receive. It is a great paradox. The Christian faith is a tremendous paradox that by giving we receive. And so we give our time, we give our energy, we give our money, we support institutions. It's an old friend of mine who passed away a few years ago. Foster Freeze used to give millions of dollars away. He supported every charity you could ever imagine. He supported our ministry in many ways and many times over. And he used to say, you know, thank God that for this money, because this everything I have is his. If this was my money, you wouldn't get a red cent, is what he used to tell people. And it's true. Everything we have is a gift from God. Every breath we take is a moment for us to give thanks for this day. And the question is, how much would you pay to wake up tomorrow morning? If you knew that if somebody offered you $10 million, but you would have to give up your life, would you accept the $10 million? The answer is, of course not. However, when we wake up in the morning, we can give thanks, $10 million worth of thanks, because God has given us another day and he doesn't charge us a penny for it. Today, I want you to transform your thinking, to understand that the God who loves you and cares about you, who gives you mercy, wants you to offer your body as a living sacrifice today. Take up your cross, follow him, and you will be free. Free to be able to think positive, healthy thoughts. Free to be able to help other people. Free to be able to do what God wants you to do. Free to be able to be the person that God created you to be. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who cares. You're a God who loves. You're a God who guides and leads. So give us the vision, the understanding, the realization, and the clearness of thought. Say thank you. Thank you for all you're doing for us. Thank you for everything you've done in our lives. Thank you for this moment. We love you, God. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. You're lying down and you're rising up and you're laboring in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus and that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God bless you, everybody. He is blessing you. Go with him and be a living sacrifice today.